Hi, I'm Eli, and today we're going to interview Brian, and he's going to teach us about deer.
Can you have a pet deer?
Can you have a pet deer? You could have a pet deer. Deer are very easy to domesticate. Does anybody know what the word domesticate means?
Yeah.
To make them like a house animal.
Yes. When they become familiar with people at a very young age, they can imprint just like a cat or a dog, and they're familiar with a human being their owner. They're very easy to domesticate. Does anybody know who owns deer? Because we live in New York, New York State owns deer in New York. And you cannot domesticate a deer in New York because it is property of the state. You'd have to get special permission to do so. You couldn't just do it on your own.
How fast do deer run?
I'm not sure to give you a speed, but they are very fast. If I were to take a guess, well over 20 miles an hour, probably close to 30 miles an hour. They are very, very fast with very strong legs.
How long do deer live for?
Does anybody want to take a guess? Yeah, buddy.
50.
50. Way too much.
Like 20 or 10 years?
Between 10 and 20. I'm not sure how
25?
Long the oldest would be, but if a deer doesn't have to struggle too long, do you have a guess?
15.
You're right in the middle. Between 10 and 20 years. A 10-year-old deer is very old. A 5.5-year-old deer is a very old, mature deer. That is a mature deer.
Like a grown-up.
Can you explain more?
They grow very fast. They grow very, very fast because they have to survive in the wild. They have a lot of obstacles against them. They have a lot of predation issues. They have hunters, coyotes, black bears, fishers, cars, and the biggest one of all, the weather. They have to grow up fast so they can survive in our weather. Every state has different weather. The further south you go, the warmer it gets. It might be a little easier, but the predator population also increases. So there's a lot of obstacles that these animals have to deal with, so they grow very fast.
If 5 years old is an adult, then how many years would they be to be a kid?
So, the terminology for this, a fawn. Does everybody know what a fawn is?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sweetheart.
It's a baby deer.
It's a baby deer. A deer is considered a fawn until it's reached 1 year old. After 1 year old, it's considered a yearling. After a year old, that animal is considered an adult. So at 2.5 years old, that animal is considered an adult.
2 years?
2.5 years old, yes. A fawn could weigh anywhere between 40 and 70 pounds, and a 2.5 year old deer could weigh as much as 150 pounds. And over 2.5 years old, they can get very big.
Do deer hibernate?
Deer do not hibernate. Deer don't. Does anybody know what the word migrate means? Yes.
They fly south.
Not necessarily fly. Okay? Some animals move south, they walk south. A lot of animals up north, in the Adirondacks, or south of here in the Catskills, where the elevation, the mountains, are really tall, and they get a lot of snow, they'll migrate a little bit, and they'll come down the mountain a little bit, and they'll get to food where they can eat, and they don't have to deal with a lot of snow. So they'll move a little bit, they'll migrate just a little bit to where they can find a food source, but they won't hibernate. They'll continue to eat all year long, but they will always move to food.
Do deer have a leader?
Deer do have a leader in some places and in some times. It's kind of hard to explain if deer have one leader. There's family groups of deer, and typically a lot of times before the month of September, October, definitely before October, you'll see family groups of deer. And those family groups of deer stay together. The fawns, their moms, their siblings, those big family groups, and they'll live together. And then something amazing happens during the month of October into November, and all of those animals kind of disperse. There's a separation of the family group. And then after that separation of the family group happens, when that family group comes back together, there's always that one leader. The mama doe takes care of the kids, and the yearlings join into that group, and mom deer, the doe, she'll actually adopt. She'll adopt fawns where maybe mom got shot by a hunter, or mom got hit by a car, or mom got eaten by a predator, a bear or a coyote. And the mother doe is an amazing, amazing teacher to her fawns. And when she can educate her fawns to stay away from danger, it's very, very important for that animal to survive. Does anybody want to take one quick guess? The number one way how any white-tailed deer knows that there's danger.
Maybe they use gills?
Nope. They don't use gills. They don't live in the water, so they don't have gills. They have lungs, just like us. They breathe air.
They use their ears?
They use their ears. Deer have an amazing sense of hearing. I call them radars on top of their head. Their ears, look how big up my ear is. Now look how big my hand is. What's bigger, my ear or my hand?
Your hand.
My hand. My hand is way bigger. So when I go like this, if my hands were my ears on top of my head, you think I'd be able to hear better with big ears or small ears?
Big ears.
Big ears. And they can turn their ears. They can turn them backwards. They can turn them sideways. They can turn them up. And they can point their ears towards that sound that they hear so they can locate it. And after they hear it, what do you think they use next?
Run away.
If they don't run, they're inquisitive. They talk to each other. They hear things. They hear noise on the ground. Turkeys walking. People walking, but to identify what danger is, they'll use their eyes. And deer have an amazing sense of vision, but they can't see very good in certain colors, but they can see movement very, very good. They can pick out movement. And when all else fails, the number one thing that a deer uses to sense danger
is it wiggle their tail?
Their sense of smell. If they smell something they don't like, you will never see a deer because it won't even come in that direction.
How far can a deer hear a predator?
There's a lot of variables, and variables mean there's a lot of different things that would influence on how far a deer could hear a predator. I would be considered a predator. A coyote would be considered a predator. A bobcat would be considered a predator. Depends on how hard the wind is blowing, if it's really windy. If it rained the night before, and it's like walking on a carpet because the leaves aren't crunchy. But if the leaves are crunchy and you're making a lot of noise, that deer could hear a long, long ways away.
They could hear 1,000 feet away?
Oh yeah, absolutely. The furthest, so who knows how far 100 yards is? Who plays football? Who likes to play football or watch football on a football?
You said 100.
100 yards would be the length of one football field.
It's 300 feet.
300 feet. Very good. So you said 1,000 feet. 1,000 feet is just over
600 feet.
Close. Three football fields. 300 feet plus 300 feet plus 300 feet would be 900 feet. You said 1,000 feet, so that would be three football fields. I have a tool that I use called a rangefinder, and that rangefinder is like binoculars, but I can push a button on it, and it shows me how far away something is. So
you can, like, zoom in?
Everybody look out the window. Everybody see that traffic light right there? The traffic light, the red light?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that tool that I have, I could put my binoculars up, and I'd push a button, and it would give me a number back. And it would tell me exactly...
How many feet?
How many yards. How many yards away, which is still a measurement, and that's all I need is the distance. It would tell me how many yards away from here to that traffic light is. The furthest away that I have talked to a deer and had the deer respond and come visit me was over 1,000 feet away, over 300 football fields.
Three football fields.
Excuse me. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rakes. Over three football fields away. I used one of my deer calls, and that deer heard me, and it wasn't windy, and it was crunchy out, and it was noisy, but the deer was walking in the grass, and when the deer stopped, I was able to talk to the deer, and he picked his head up, and he turned his ears, and that's the acknowledgement that I needed to know that he heard me, and he came running all the way across the big, 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 big field, and he came to about 15 yards away from me, which is maybe from me to the wall on the other side of the hall. So he came pretty close from that distance away. And that is why they have such big ears on their head. He knew exactly where that sound came from, and he wanted to come visit. Yes, sweetie?
Does it hurt if they turn their ears a lot?
I'm not a deer, but if I did something that hurt me, I wouldn't do it a lot. So if a deer turned its ears a lot and it hurt it, probably wouldn't do it.
First question. You said their families separate and then come back. How do they all find each other?
Their sense of smell. There's lots of different scent glands in a deer. And they can smell each other. They know who's who. There's the hierarchy, the mom, the kids, the dads, and just by the sense of smell, they can tell who's who.
That's like I can smell when Eli's coming.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very similar. So my second question is, wait, you're talking to the deer?
Yeah. So this is what I do for a living. I build game calls to talk to a variety of different types of animals. The number one thing that I enjoy most is talking with deer. Does anybody want to take a guess why I would talk to deer? Yes.
So you could start knowing them and they could let you pet them?
Not quite. Yeah, buddy.
They might be able to, like, make sounds to tell you what might be something wrong with them. If something, like, if a bone's broken or something?
No. Deer thrive very, very...
That means they heal pretty fast?
They do. They heal quick. They overcome obstacles very good. I'll cut to the chase. Who eats turkey on Thanksgiving?
Me?
Meat. That's why I talk to deer. And when I was talking to the class before, I already told the answer. Does anybody remember how many deer I've seen this year? Yes.
100, about 100?
Over 100. And when I say I've seen over 100, that means I've had the opportunity
to
shoot.
What?
I use a bow, I use an arrow,
sometimes a gun.
Or sometimes I use a gun. And I do this to feed my family.
How big?
I go to the grocery store, I feed my family. I go in the woods, and I harvest deer, or turkeys, or I go fishing.
How do you carry the dead animal? You put it on your truck or something?
Yeah, if I have to drive it, I'll put it on my truck. Deer are very heavy, and it's a lot of hard work.
How do you get it on with them?
I gotta pick it up. Mr. Rakes has helped me before drag deer out of the woods.
Why? Very smelly.
Yeah.
Very smelly.
They stink?
Well... You don't bring all of the deer
yep.
with you. You leave some parts in the woods.
Yep.
For the animals.
For yes. Yes. This is the course of a life cycle. That there's things in animals that we don't eat. The stomach. Some people eat the heart. Some people eat the liver. Who's heard of liverwurst? Who's heard of the word pate? Yeah? It's made with liver. There's different foods that are made with different parts of the body. But we don't eat the stomach. We don't eat the intestines. We don't eat all that yucky stuff where we sit on the toilet. So we cut all of that stuff out of the animal and we leave it in the woods. But there's animals in the woods that need that to survive.
How big can you shoot it? How big can the how big can the gun be if you shoot a deer?
You want to match it. You want to match your gun size to the size of the animal that you're shooting.
How many bullets do you need to use?
One. When I shoot a bow, I shoot one arrow.
Can you take the arrow back?
I do. I reuse my arrows. I have one arrow that's been through four deer and a couple turkeys.
So sometimes the deer get distracted in the light and they don't pay attention?
Yeah, that term, the deer in the headlights,
mm-hmm.
They stare. They'll stare at light. So you got to be really careful when you're driving at nighttime.
Where do deer live?
Deer live in a variety of different environments. I live in West Glenville. Who knows where the Mohawk River is? Okay, you know where the Mohawk River is, and you follow it upriver. And I live on the other side of Scotia, up on the hill. And I have a lot of deer on my property. Deer live in every state.
Even hot states, like California and stuff?
Even hot states.
Puerto Rico, they live.
But do a lot of deer live in California, even because there's a lot of predators?
I don't know. But I do know that there are deer in every state.
Is there anybody in your family that eats vegetarian vegetables?
Vegetarian. Do you have any vegetarian people in your family?
I don't have vegetarian people in my family. I have everybody in my family is... We eat meat, and we eat vegetables, we drink milk, we eat fish.
Well, I like fish, too.
Yeah, fish is good.
I like fish sticks and,
So, yeah, fish sticks is fish with just some bread around it.
Yeah.
It's like a fish sandwich.
Fish is good.
Do deer have fleas?
Deer would have fleas. Deer, who's heard of ticks? Okay, ticks are nasty, nasty, nasty little bugs, and they're very, very
bad.
Yeah,
they're very spiky.
They carry disease. So there are a lot of ticks that can be found on deer, and that's something that we have to be very careful of as hunters. We have to be very careful that we don't want to bring bugs back. So after I recover my deer, when I'm done, I leave all of my hunting clothes outside, and when it's cold, they'll hop off and they'll go away, and then I'll bring my hunting clothes in, I'll wash them, and I make sure I take a shower.
That's just what I do. Do deer fight?
Oh, yeah. So, this is included. Who wants to hear what a deer sounds like?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is going to sound like a juvenile, a young deer.
What? Sounds like a boat.
So we're also indoors, and there's the acoustics in here, there's a loud echo sound. So while I'm talking, I can hear my voice echoing off the walls. So this isn't a very good place to hear how it actually sounds, but you get the point of it. This is what a juvenile deer sounds like. And if we want to make it sound a little more mature, like an adult,
you just blow into it? It's a boat tuba.
Yeah. It's just like a musical instrument.
What about for a baby?
For a baby, a fawn or mama doe at one time of the year, this is what the fawn sounds like.
Wow. How come you can't use the same one?
The parts that are built in these help really specify the authentic sound of what that animal sounds like. So I use two. I build two. This is what I do for a living.
What do you build it with?
Wood. Wood. And a reed, like a musical instrument. And
like
I have some, just like a clarinet. It has a reed, just like a clarinet, just like a musical instrument.
How far could a deer hear that?
That's the same answer to a question we had before. It all depends.
He can hear it over
3 football fields.
But
over.
He could have even heard it even further away from that, but I don't know.
He could hear from
but
the
that's
feet
a,
down.
That's a long ways away.
What if he heard it all the way from here?
Fields.
What if he heard it all the way
it
from
can't.
Here?
There's no
not from in here.
Oh, the windows are not open.
Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't finish that one question. Do deer fight? So, we want to talk like a deer. We want to communicate with the deer. We want to paint an audible picture for that animal that's way far away to hear something that he or she says, I want to come check that out. So, when... What has more antlers on its head? A buck or a doe?
A doe.
A buck.
A buck. The boy, the buck, has antlers on his head. And when they get very agitated with each other, who wants to take a guess what those two bucks do to each other with those horns? Excuse me, with those antlers. Yes.
They hit each other.
They fight. And they make a racket. And it
Don't
sounds
they stand on their back?
They'll stand on their they'll stand on their back legs sometimes, but when the bucks are fighting, they don't stand on their back legs. They keep their head down,
and they run into each other.
They don't run into each other. They approach each other really slow, but then they attack each other with their antlers, and it sounds like this. And it's the sound of those antlers just banging and banging and banging and banging and making a huge mess. And the leaves are flying and the branches are breaking. And there's a lot of noise in the woods when that happens.
How can a branch break and the deer's not by?
Oh, if the deer steps on.
Oh.
That's why. Because of their big, heavy feet when they're fighting like that, they make a lot of noise. So that's another thing that we want to do as hunters. We want to imitate that noise and try to sound like something that deer wants to come look at.
Can a deer kill a human if it's antlers?
It could. I saw a picture recently and it was very graphic.
An animal can put their...
A man walked up to a deer that he had shot. And this is
it
the
wasn't
time
dead.
You have to be very careful. That deer stood up and...
Ate him?
Nope. It picked his head up very fast. And one of these antler tips cut the man from here, up his head, all the way down, and gave him a very, very, very bad head injury. But the man lived. The man did live. I have a friend that got kicked in the face by a deer. Because he made the same mistake. That deer was not dead. And he got kicked in the face. You have to be very careful.
He survived too?
He survived, yes. He had to go to the hospital.
He probably had a broken nose.
It broke his jaw. Oh. And he lost some teeth. Oh. He got hurt real bad. Yes, sweetheart.
Have you ever seen the deer fight and get their antlers stuck together?
I have not seen it happen in person, but I have seen pictures of antlers stuck together from two different deer, and they physically could not separate.
And they broke off?
I have watched deer fight and an antler break off.
Can those
Would it hurt the
body?
They fall off. I'm sure it hurts a little bit.
Can they go into a size, can they go inside of a person's body?
Oh, if they get hard enough, I'm sure it could happen, but I wouldn't want to find out.
I don't.
Would the deer bleed?
I'm going to run off.
When these fall off, there's no more blood flow going through them. Okay? So this is just bone. When a deer antler is growing, it's covered in what we call velvet. There's blood that travels through here because it needs to grow. It needs the energy. It needs that food source. It needs everything that we talked about before, those special minerals and proteins for good antler growth in a deer. So this is live. And then over the course of time, when the days start getting shorter, that velvet falls off. it falls off of the deer. It falls off of his antlers, and then it's just bone on top of the head.
How about when it gets ripped out?
When they get ripped off, I'm sure that hurts.
Does it bleed?
But when they fall off, what is left behind are two little red nubs on top of the head. And they're red.
Can they fall off?
The nubs? That's part of their skull. That's actually part of their head. That's something that doesn't fall off. There's just two red circles on the top of the head of a deer when these fall off. And these will fall off anywhere between right now all the way into March. All the way into March. There's a few things that depend on what happens that we won't talk about in class, but they fall off every year. And then they grow back the next year. But from the age of 1.5 years old, when that deer starts to grow horns, this is from a 1.5 year old deer. This could be from a 2.5 year old deer, or a 3.5 year old deer, or even a 13.5 year old deer.
How big would they be if it's like an old, old one?
So, from the age of birth, and then that deer gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and the antlers get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the antler growth, I think, usually peaks, the biggest it's ever going to be, around 8.5 years old or 9.5 years old. And then they kind of plateau and they stay there for a little bit, and then they start to go downhill because now he's an old man and he's getting older, and those antlers are just going to get a little smaller every single year when they grow back. And that's going to reach the age of the old man. When that deer
dies.
When he dies. When he dies of old age, which could be 15, 20 years.
Okay. When the deer gets his horn off, like, you know when you said there's blood in the deer?
Yeah.
How does the blood get out once it's off? Is it still in there?
When this falls off? So when this falls off, we've all cut ourselves before, right? And then we get a scab. It's the same thing on a deer. They just have two little red nubs on top of their head. And I honestly can't answer that question of what happens, but they just don't bleed. They don't bleed, and they don't bleed like a cut. They heal up quick, and then shortly later, they start to grow new antlers.
Why do they fight?
Why do they fight? They fight over territory.
Food?
Not necessarily food, but the number one thing that they fight about are their girlfriends. Yep. That's the number one thing that a white-tailed buck, the boys fight about, are their girlfriends.
So, they're no different than people, you're saying?
They're very similar to people.
So, like, why do they fight about their girlfriends? So, like,
because they want all the attention.
That means
they want all the
girls.
Attention.
They want all the girls instead of...
They want all the girlfriends.
So can deer get married? Is it illegal for somebody to do that to a deer?
To marry them.
Two deer to marry each other.
Well, you bring up an interesting question, Lanai, because some animals, when they find a mate, like a husband-wife, they stay together forever.
Yeah.
And some animals don't.
Yeah.
So it is an interesting question, like, because some animals do that.
You can have a deer wedding. You can have both of them. You put the ring on their antlers.
But then their antler falls off and they lose the ring.
Oh, they lose the ring.
You make a little bracelet. You make it bigger and you put it around their feet. What do deer eat?
What do deer eat? Deer eat a variety, a very, very large variety of different foods. They eat everything from agricultural fields, which are things that us as humans, that we plant to feed ourselves. Beans, corn, pumpkins, everything that people plant in their gardens typically is something that a deer would eat.
People plant pumpkins?
Of course. We plant pumpkin seeds.
That's how you get so many around Halloween time.
So everything that we as humans would plant in our garden typically is what a deer would eat. There are also plants that we plant in our flower beds to make our houses look pretty. bushes and shrubs, arborvitaes. That plant right there hanging behind Mr. Rakus, I guarantee you if that grew in the wild, a deer would eat the leaves off of them. There's a variety of different things that
what?
A deer will eat. Deer are vegetarians.
Can I get poisoned?
I don't know.
They
but they have an amazing sense of smell, and they could smell if something was good to eat or bad to eat. So I'm going to say a chance of a deer eating something that would be poisonous is very, very low because they have such a good sense of smell.
Did you use the collars to kill deer?
I do. That's how I talk with deer. And who wants to take a guess how many deer I've shot this year? Yes.
10?
One.
One?
Only
just one.
One? Because I'm very, very picky on deer that I shoot. I have the luxury of seeing a lot, but I'm very picky on deer that I shoot. I don't shoot little deer, I shoot big mature deer. And everything that I do, I utilize to feed my family. So nothing goes to waste. Yes?
How do you know when the deer's dead? It'll stay down
for
a little bit or something?
His heart will stop moving.
So not to be graphic with this, but for safety, how I know a deer is dead, and this is the honest truth, you poke it in the eyeball.
Dang.
Yeah.
Now what if it's...
When a deer dies, its eyes stay open. If the eye doesn't move when you touch it...
You use your finger?
No, I use a stick or the barrel of my gun or the arrow.
Or what about if it still moves, it's still alive?
If it's still alive, there's something that's called when in doubt, back out. If you don't think that deer is dead, you just walk away. And you give that deer time to expire. Because how we find the deer is we follow the blood on the ground. And we follow it, and we follow it, and we follow it. And this is where a lot of skill gets involved to practice. That we follow that trail a long ways, or sometimes a very short ways. Or even better, you can see the deer. And you have to be very careful when you approach. But if you think that deers might be alive, you have to walk away for a little bit.
I wouldn't stand next to a deer. I would just snipe it instead. I'll just snipe it.
You would snipe it? I've sniped deer before.
then we don't have to be so close up to it.
Yeah.
Is it
illegal?
Illegal to kill deer.
Certain times of the year, yes. I have permission to shoot deer almost all year long.
From who?
From New York State.
Oh, I didn't say the guy.
On particular areas where there's depredation problems. So farmers, we plant corn, we plant soybean, we plant everything that most people buy from the stores. Deer, when they get too big in numbers and there's too many deer, we have to step in and
yeah,
we have to take some of those deer. But we don't waste the deer. We take the meat. We process the meat. We put the meat in our refrigerator and we put the meat in our freezer and we feed families. We bring it to homeless shelters. We bring it to butchers where they can donate that meat to feed families. And
you should kind of take out some of the boys, not the women's, because they need to give birth so that other deers can more grow up. But not all the men.
That's very, very true. That's very true. And there's something that happens every year that, remember I said the deer are owned by New York State?
Mm-hmm.
There's people that work for the state that actually manage with statistics and numbers of how many deer are in one area. Who thinks there's a lot of deer right here in the city of Schenectady? Not a lot of deer in the city. Like, could you look outside right now and see a deer walk by?
No. If there was, then you'd have to shoot it.
You wouldn't have to, but it would be really unique to see a deer outside right here outside of the school.
I'm going to look at it.
Now, in Schenectady County, Mr. Rakus lives in Schenectady County, not too far away west of here. It would be a little unique for Mr. Rakus to look out his window to see a deer. It would be a little unique.
I've seen deers before.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch. Because we go to a lot of world trips, I see them staring at the light.
Yeah.
When we go to a driveway, I see a lot of deers looking.
So where I live...
Because I go to west.
I can look outside of my windows at my house quite often and see deer. So there's people that work for the state that determine how many deer are in a certain area and how many tags. And these right here are deer tags. Not all of them. This one is for a buck, an antlered deer. This is for a doe. This is for a doe. And these are some turkey tags. And I have a bear tag, too.
Oh, is that a bear?
Yes.
I've seen a bear before.
I get a lot more doe tags than I do buck tags. And that's to help control the population.
If you guys remember, we were talking about there's just so many deer nowadays.
Yeah.
And it's becoming dangerous for who?
The people.
Which people? Yeah, doing what?
Driving.
Driving.
And it's also dangerous, and this sounds a little silly, it's also dangerous for the deer when there's too many deer.
Hmm?
Who wants to hear a quick little simple story of why this would be dangerous for the deer? Yeah?
I know why.
Okay, go ahead.
Because of so many, there wouldn't be a lot of food for them or territory for them to live.
Exactly.
That was your question.
So, the story, who knows what a cottontail rabbit is? A little bunny rabbit. Just a bunny rabbit. So it's something that's native to our area.
It's like a baby one.
We have cottontail rabbits. There was an area. It was fenced in with a pen. Rabbits, bunnies, hares, they can dig. They can dig deep holes. So the fence was buried underground. But it was a very, very large area that a family and another family of rabbits were given this area to live in. They had plenty of food, they had water, they had shelter, and those rabbits were left alone.
And the deer came?
Nope, it's all fenced in. This is to see what the rabbits do while they're living in their fenced in area. And it was a very, very large area. And what happened over the course of time is the mom and dad bunnies, they had baby bunnies. And then there were more bunnies. And then there were more bunnies. And then there were more bunnies. And what happened was...
They ran out of water.
They ran out of food, disease, and famine. Who knows what famine is?
You said famine?
Famine. They had no food to eat. So this is a system that we have as humans to keep that population in control so we can coexist with them. It's unfortunate, but it's something that has to be done. And this is a way that we can ethically provide for our families. That was a good answer. You knew it.
Do deer steal food out of people's gardens?
Deer steal food out of people's gardens all the time. Even big, big, big gardens that take up more room than the size of this school, that take up more room than the size of this city. My wife, her family lives in Kansas, and her aunt and uncle are farmers. That's what they do for a living. And they have very, very big fields. They grow corn and they grow beans. And those are things that are used all around the country. When you go to the grocery store and you bought corn, it could have come from Kansas. It could have come from the farm. When you buy meat, that cow that you bought the meat from in the store could have been eating food that was processed from the cornfields from my wife's family's farm in Kansas. So those big fields are just like gardens. And that's why we have to help control the population of deer, because in some places, there's just too many. But in some places, where there's not a lot, you leave them alone so they can prosper.
How do the deer get where you live?
How do they get where we live? They were there long before we were.
We started taking their home.
Yeah.
Before there was people here living here, there was just woods and forest and bears and deer and bunnies and all these animals just lived here. We came, we cut down some of their
homes. But how did they get there? How did they get here and how did we get here?
They learned how to adapt and survive. Who knows where Jumping Jacks is in Scotia? Who thinks there's a lot of deer right there?
Nope.
There's a lot.
There is?
There's a lot. You know the islands on the river?
If you go over the bridge,
yep.
And you're halfway over the bridge. There's land in the middle of the river, and there's some islands there.
Deer live on that. Turkeys live on that. There's a lot of animals that live on that. But you know what's great about that?
What?
It's a sanctuary. It's an area where those deer can live and prosper and feel comfortable. But that's also a problem because it gets to a point where there's too many in one area. And the problem is I can't shoot a gun and I can't shoot a bow.
In front of public?
In public. And you have to be very careful. And that becomes a problem where there's too many deer in an area where there's a lot of houses, a lot of people, and it becomes very unsafe. It doesn't just become unsafe for the deer, it becomes unsafe for people.
So you need Nadir too. What do you want to do with them? Snipe them?
You want to snipe them?
You might need Nadir to snipe.
But it's kind of scary for people because it seems like someone's getting shot by their hat.
Yes, that's why you have to play by the rules. There's different rules that us as hunters that we have to follow. And we have to be very careful that we follow those rules and make sure not just to follow the rules, but the rules are there to keep people safe.
Is there something of a gun called a silent pistol?
Yeah, but that's not something that would be legal to use hunting deer. You have to follow the rules.
That is silent. Has anyone ever thought that somebody was getting shot before when they heard that
sound?
I can't speak for anybody else, but I'm sure somebody may have thought that because they heard a gunshot, they think that something bad happened.
Part of it is when you live near big woods, mm-hmm. where people do hunting, you're kind of used to hearing a shot.
I hear gunshots every day where I live. And you know what goes through my head?
Well,
somebody's practicing. Or somebody shot a deer.
Or somebody shot a tree or something.
Or they're target shooting. When I hear a gunshot, it doesn't faze me at all because that's where I live.
So the difference is if you live in a city, there's no hunting going on in a city.
Yeah.
So
when you hear a gunshot, it's not for hunting and you're more scared. So
of
it
course.
Depends on where you live, if that's something that people do safely or if it's something that would be unsafe. It really depends on where you live.
I used to have guns before. I saw 10 deer last night before when I was picking up my mom from Mr. Sun.
And, you know, we were talking a little bit about that last week when we were getting ready, or a few weeks ago, actually. The deer, you see them a lot, right next to something. Do you know what they're right next to a lot? Where did you see them? What were they next to, do you know?
In this guy's yard.
Yeah, in the yards and next to the road. They live in the woods, but they don't eat as much in the woods. They like to come out to the fields right next to the roads where there's grass, and that's where they eat. So a lot of times when you're driving down the road or you're in somebody's big yard, you'll see them because they're coming out to eat.
That's cool.
Does anybody have one last question that you were really just wanted to say today? Because our time is almost up. Go ahead, Nadia.
Do you get paid for doing that?
Do I get paid for it?
Mm-hmm.
I do. I get paid for making these. I sell these in stores. Who's heard of Dick's Sporting Goods?
I love Dick's store.
Who knows Field and Stream?
Yes.
Okay. You can buy these that I make in Field and Stream at Dick's Sporting Goods. Yes.
So you make them and you give it to the people that own it?
I make them and they buy them from me and they sell them in the store. That's how I make money and that's how the store makes money.
Every day, every store, every Dick's Sporting Goods or any store that they sell those at, do they send you the money?
They buy them from me first. For however many I make them, and they give me the money, and then they sell them in the store. So what I give them, they pay me for, and then they sell them in the store.
All right, we have to end with the most important two questions that we have for Brian. Go ahead.
What do you call a deer with no eyeballs?
A deer with no eyeballs? Oh, man, that's a trick one.
A headless horseman.
No.
I don't know. What?
I have no idea.
No idea. That's a good one.
Who did Mary invite to her birthday party?
I don't know. Who did Bambi
invite? Her newest, dearest friend.
Her newest, dearest friend? Clever.
Thank you for coming today.
Oh, it was my
pleasure. We had a lot of questions that we didn't get to. Maybe if we're really lucky and we make a nice thank you card, maybe we can get Brian to come back for a round two and finish off some of our questions. I want to say thank you for listening to Yates Radio.
Thank you for your great questions, guys.
Yates Radio.
Keep listening.